Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am Tony Serino alongside Christopher Carter, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the show, it is Crossover Wednesday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Chris and I are joined by Joe Marino of Locked On Bills to preview this Sunday night's game between the Steelers and Bills. Welcome to the show. You can find more of this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, the Himalaya app, wherever you find podcasts, search Locked On Steelers, hit that subscribe button. Make sure to get your daily dose. You can follow us on Twitter at LO Steelers. You can find us on Facebook, search Locked On Steelers, hit like on the Facebook page, but make sure you also join the Facebook group. You can also find us on Instagram at Locked On Steelers.
Joe Marino of Locked On Bills, joined now by Tony Serino and Chris Carter of the Locked On Steelers podcast to help us get ready for this important AFC showdown on Sunday. On Sunday Night Football between the Buffalo Bills and Pittsburgh Steelers. Guys, the story for this Pittsburgh Steelers team right now, one of the hottest teams in football, has been the defense. And there's a lot of talent on that defense. They acquired Minkah Fitzpatrick. What makes this unit so dominant, and what can Bills fans expect to see on Sunday?
Well, you mentioned Minkah Fitzpatrick, and it's really been a night and day difference between before they got Minkah and afterwards, right? This has been a dominating defense. All the metrics since they took over, I mean, they've been the best defense in football since that point. But if we're boiling it down to one thing, what makes this defense great, what's been the difference between some of the Steeler defenses we've seen in the past and this 2019 iteration, it's turnovers. I mean, this team is getting turnovers at an unbelievable clip. They've already surpassed what they did last year. I think they're already tops in the league again. They're going to be better than anyone was even last year, the year before. I mean, their ability to create turnovers, and it's coming because they're able to get pressure, and that's been a thing in the past. This team has led the league in sacks the last couple of years, but they haven't been able to manifest that with turnovers. That's been the difference maker this year, is they're getting pressure with Cam Hayward. They're getting pressure with T.J. Watt. Bud Dupree is having an outstanding year, but they're able to utilize that pressure and get turnovers on the back end, and Minkah's a big part of that. Steven Nelson has been a shutdown corner in his own right. No one expected that coming from Kansas City, a defense that was so bad a year ago. Joe Hayden's having a bit of a resurgence here. I mean, it's literally, you look down the line at the Steeler defense, you can't really point to a player who's having a bad year. It is top to bottom a fantastic defense, and the turnovers are the big part of it.
You know, Steven Nelson was a good pickup. It's one of, we haven't seen Pittsburgh be super aggressive in free agency. That was one of the bigger free agent signings they've had in recent years, and it's really paid dividends. I think he was a better player than that unit revealed in Kansas City. Tell us about that rookie middle linebacker you got there, Devin Bush.
Devin Bush has really come on strong this year. He's been a part of several turnovers. He's also really helped solve the problems that have been at inside linebackers since the team lost Ryan Shazier to that crushing injury just a couple years ago. The Steelers needed a presence in the middle of their defense that could go, gap to gap, tackle to tackle, sideline to sideline, and be able to make those plays. And Bush brings that presence. Now, Bush does have, his rookie faults. He really struggles with covering tight ends at times. I think he's given up at least four touchdowns to tight ends this season in coverage. And you've seen him kind of lose his footing. But each time he makes a mistake, he corrects himself very quickly within games. And like the Colts tried to take advantage of him. He gave up a touchdown to Jack Doyle. And then later in the game, they went right back to him, and he was completely ready for it and took away a pass. He's really helped be, an X factor for the defense, but he hasn't been the X factor because of all the guys that have stepped up around him. Minkah Fitzpatrick I think he's really the X factor of the defense, but you could say the same thing about T.J. Watt as he leads the team in sacks. Bud Dupree's insane rise this year is a huge part of that, and that's all kind of allowed Devin Bush to just sort of play within himself and not have to overextend himself to make plays, which is what the Steelers want. And you've seen a bit of a snap decrease from Bush in the recent weeks because they're trying to keep teams guessing with the different options they have at inside linebacker. Mark Barron, who's, the wily veteran that can cover a little bit better. Vince Williams, who's the most experienced linebacker with the Steelers. He's really more their run stuffer and pass rusher, but he's also done decent enough in coverage. They have an interesting group there that allows them to have a rotation, keep fresh legs, and Devin Bush, all signs point that he is a huge part of this team's future, and he's willing to make plays, and he's able to make plays on the ball. That's really changed a lot of the problems since they lost Shazier.
want to go off script here for a second because I'm looking over the Steelers depth chart as you guys are talking about these players, and I see two guys that are very intriguing to me, and they're both free agents this coming offseason, or at least scheduled to be. We know things can change quickly, but Javon Hargrave, a defensive tackle, Bud Dupree, the edge rusher, a guy that Pittsburgh traded up for and has had a big year in that contract year. What are the likelihood that these guys hit the market, and your approach towards that possibility of losing them, or should Pittsburgh be aggressive in trying to retain those guys?
Yeah, Javon Hargrave is probably gone. I don't think the Steelers can put much more stock into their, or much more salary cap space into their defensive line when they're already paying Stephon Tuitt and Cam Hayward what they are. And Cam Hayward is due another contract extension this offseason. So Hargrave is probably going to go. But boy, Bud Dupree is making a real case that they should at least try to franchise tag him and, mm-hmm. and work something out there, because it'll be $16 million against the cap. And the Steelers have to try and work a way around getting, you know, opening up that much cap space right now. Remember, they just signed Ben Roethlisberger to a $30-plus million a year deal right before the season started. And so that'll kick in the 2020 season. But I think they should be aggressive in keeping Bud. Look, this is a guy they've waited and waited and waited for him to turn the corner. Pardon the pun there, but you know, he finally has, right? I mean, this guy, this is a guy who's finally putting up double digit sacks. He looks like an elite defender off the edge. You know, Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin have every year come into the year saying, we believe in Bud. This is going to be the year for him. And finally it is. And it's too bad that it comes in his contract year, because it does put the Steelers in a tough spot when it comes to re-signing him. He's going to be such a valuable free agent. You know, you see what edge rushers get on the open market. It's big money. But the Steelers, I think, should be aggressive in trying to keep Bud.
All right, we've talked a lot about this defense, and it's an exciting unit. First round picks all over the place. How do you attack this thing? If you were going to devise a game plan here to go after this Pittsburgh defense, where would you attack it? Where is it weak?
Well, you'd go after the short passing game. You'd try to get the ball out quickly, and that's something that the Steelers defense early in games has kind of allowed. And that's something, you know, even going back to the Dick LeBeau days of the Steelers defense, and Keith Butler really is just a guy who grew up in Dick LeBeau's system and has sort of tried to just, you know, advance it, you know, a little bit. But they, you know, early on in the game, you'll see quarterbacks like Kyler Murray, like Baker Mayfield, complete those quick slants and, you know, those quick outs that are simpler reads and to get the ball out of their hands to stop the pass rush of the Steelers from taking over the game. And then you want to mix that in with a strong ground game to try and keep the defense guessing between, are they coming with the run or do we need to play discipline? But eventually you do have to hit some passes over their heads. You're going to need the receivers to beat Joe Hayden and Steven Nelson and Micah Fitzpatrick and Terrell Edmonds. If I was to do any main thing, you know, I'd try to have as many switch-ups as possible. The Browns showcased something that the Patriots did very well in week one, in the first matchup against the Steelers. And that's, they lined up, they brought out two running backs, would line them out in the split ends and have their receivers line up in the slots. And that sort of confused the Steelers defense if they weren't ready for it. Now they tried this again in the second game and they were ready for it against the Browns, but trying to find those mismatches along with that quick passing game that eventually leads to a communication breakdown or just a matchup that they don't like. Mark Barron, you know, Tony brought it, you know, said that, and he wasn't wrong in saying that the Steelers really don't have necessarily a weakness, but if there was a person that I would attack on this defense, it would be Mark Barron, because he has kind of been the one guy that was the weak spot in the middle of the field, that if you wanted to target somebody, you could go after him and you'd find at least a good bit of success. But I mean, Terrell Edmonds, even though he doesn't have an interception, he flies around the field. He's got the size to jump with tight ends. You know, we've talked about Nelson. Hayden's having a great year with now four interceptions. Minka Fitzpatrick is a dog back at safety. But if I was picking at something, I'd try to dink and dunk. I'd work Josh Allen's ground, you know, legs. I'd let Singletary and the Inconvenient Truth go to work on the ground game and just try to have a balanced offense and not take the unnecessary risk that leads to the turnovers, because the Steelers live off turnovers. They now have 33, which is the most in the league.
Hey, before we continue, want to let you guys know about Blue Chew. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready when the opportunity arises. If you could benefit from extra function and more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Blue Chew is prescribed online. It ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so there's no in-person doctor visit, there's no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships directly, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we got a special deal for listeners of Locked On Steelers. Visit BlueChew.com. Get your first shipment for free when you use our special promo code Locked On. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com. Use the promo code Locked On to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast.
Yeah, you know, the flip side, the Bills started off turning over the ball a ton in the first four games, but they've really cleaned that up since week five. Be a good test to see if that continue against a turnover-hungry defense there in Pittsburgh. Want to shift gears here to the offense now in this quarterback situation. Duck Hodges, a college free agent, rookie, has been able to win some games here as quarterback of this team. Tell us about his contributions to the recent wins and what he brings to the table.
Dang, Tony got the duck question. Great.
Joe, every week so our podcast has basically become a Devlin Hodges meme left and right. I mean, it goes all the way back to the first podcast we did at training camp. We did kind of our what's the hottest take you can have after a first practice. And I said, I think Devlin Hodges is the real deal. I think he can make the 53-man roster. This is after one training camp practice. And now you skip ahead 6 months, and here we are. Like you said, this is a crazy year. Duck Hodges is, what, 3-0 now as a Steelers starting quarterback, 4-1 in games that he's played in? It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. I love Duck. You know, it's that kind of irrational confidence that he has. You know, the kind of the people talk about the it factor and whatnot. It's kind of a lazy thing to say because, you know, you're just, oh, I know it when I see it. But that really was, you know, what I saw in Duck in that first practice. Is like it didn't look like, you know, fourth string quarterbacks, the kind of camp arm, they have that kind of look to them. Of they're just happy to be there. You know, they're not going to pose any threat to any of the other guys. Duck had a look about him like, you know, he was going out there to win a job. And yeah, that's what I like the most about him, is that this guy has that confidence. You know, the Steelers aren't asking him to do a lot right now. You know, they're going to be a run first offense, and then they're going to let Duck try to convert on third down, you know, do a little bit here and there down the field. But they're going to win with defense. They're going with running the ball. Right. Tomlin likes to say he didn't kill us. And that's really what Duck has done so far. But, you know, I tried to quantify this a little bit in looking at Duck and the statistics that he's put together, you know, in those situations where he is being asked to do a little more, right? 2-minute drill or late in football games converting on third down. I mean, the guy's pretty good in those spots. He's 11 of 15, 155 and a touchdown in 2-minute drill or late game situations when they're asking him to convert those late third downs to extend drives, eat up clock, and win the football game. And that's what I like about him. Those, you know, you want Duck in a big moment. I like my chances with Duck. I certainly like it more than what they had with Mason Rudolph. So it's a fun story, but, you know, ultimately I think, you know, what the Steelers have found right now is a quarterback that can help them win in the ways they need to win, which is with defense and not screwing it up on offense.
Obviously, if he were to get Juju Smith-Schuster and James Conner back, that would be a big boost to a Pittsburgh offense that hasn't, you know, hasn't lit up the scoreboard or put up a ton of yards. Are we going to see those guys on Sunday? What are you guys hearing on that front?
Well, Mike Tomlin said that they expect both Connor and Juju Smith-Schuster to return to practice this week. And they Juju Smith-Schuster said on his Twitch stream, of all places, that he would be back this week. James Conner has been kind of nursing this shoulder injury that's really been bothering him since the Chargers game. He took a real tough hit from Thomas Davis back in October. I think that's how far back we're going. And, you know, he's been on and off, but it's kind of, you know, he tried to play against the Browns the first time, and he came out there and you could see he wasn't himself. Then he eventually pulled himself off the field. James Conner has a rough injury history. He tore an ACL in college, and then that's when they found out he had cancer, and then he came back and played back from that. But he had a season-ending injury his rookie season. He missed at least four games the end of last season, and this season he's missed several games as well. So he might be ready to be back. I think he's also kind of feeling the pressure because the Steelers are seeing some good reps out of Benny Snell and even the replacement Kareth White Jr. and Jalen Samuels. And so I think he kind of feels the pressure. Next year is his contract year. He might need to show up and say, hey, I'm worth a veteran contract, but I just don't think they're going to be able to afford that while they're paying Juju Smith-Schuster and T.J. Watt. But as far as Juju Smith-Schuster, I think he's ready to go. His concussion has been long and not the question. It's been really about his knee. The Steelers have been taking every precaution with him, and from all signs that we have from inside the organization, he does seem like he's going to go. It's going to matter just how well does he practice in these games, how comfortable does he feel. But they've been really saving them for this final push as they worked against this, because the Steelers also announced they're bringing out the Color Rush jerseys for this game. For Steelers fans, that meant they lost their minds because they've never lost with their Color Rush jerseys. Of course, that gives them magical powers.
So magical powers from the jerseys. I think the Bills have been a very bad team in primetime games, and they haven't beaten the Steelers in a long, long time. So there's a lot of mountains to overcome here for the Bills in this one before we even talk about the players in the field. I'll tell you this, guys. I have a lot of respect for the Pittsburgh Steelers. This was my pick to win the AFC North going into the season. And obviously, I didn't anticipate Ben Roethlisberger getting injured. And, of course, Stephon Tuitt's a big loss for the whole year. But my belief in Pittsburgh was about how good they are in the trenches, both offensive line, defensive line. I know Mike Munchak, the offensive line coach, was a loss for him going to Denver, but the talent remains. Left to right, there's a really good football player at all spots. How's this unit performing this year? And I'm guessing that's probably been a big reason why Duck Hodges has been able to have some success.
Yeah, it has. And they're not bad, but you know, Steeler fans will tell you, well, you know, they're getting worse this year, right? You know, people are ready to drive some of these guys out of town, but it's just because there's been a small drop off without Munchak, right? Guys like Matt Filer, guys like Alejandro Villanueva, guys who were clearly playing above themselves, above their talent level, have kind of come back down to earth a little bit. It's meant that the running game really hasn't been as dominant, or at least it wasn't when James Conner was in there, and that was a big worry. But you know, this is still an elite unit in the NFL. They're still playing at a high level. Anytime you have an offensive line that's anchored by Marquise Pounty and you got David DeCastro, two all pros next to each other, you're going to be just fine. And this offensive line has been just fine. Yes, they've taken a small step backward without Munchak, but it hasn't been a precipitous fall off or anything like that. Now, when it comes to developing talent down the line, I think that's really where they're going to feel the loss of Munchak. But right now, things are fine on the offensive line.
You know, and I'll come be the voice of reason here for Steelers fans that might be listening to this. The reason the offensive line may have dropped off, yeah, you can look at Munchak being gone, but all the pieces around this offensive line have been interchangeable all year. Three quarterbacks, how many different running backs?
Yeah.
Your receivers can't stay healthy. Of course they're not going to look that good. Yeah. You know, there's a continuity component of the offense that matters here, and we have to keep that in consideration. Last thing I have for you guys here is you think about this matchup specifically against the Bills, offensively, defensively, take this wherever you want to go. Who are those X factor type players that you think will be really important to the outcome of this game?
Well, if I had to pick guys from the Steelers, that would be X factors. You got to highlight their defensive trio of Watt, Bush, and Fitzpatrick. Bush a little bit less these days because they've kind of been easing him into the game and not putting him out there for every single snap as he was at the beginning of the season. But T.J. Watt being the edge rusher, him and Bud Dupree have really been a great tandem. Bud Dupree is a half a sack away from getting double digits, which if you told a Steelers fan that before this season, they would have told you you're drunk. if you're at T.J. Watt, he has made a case to at least be in the conversation for defensive player of the year. Meanwhile, Minkah Fitzpatrick, might be the biggest game changer of the year. Tony said earlier, he's really brought everything. Those are the three guys, in my opinion, when you talk about they could flip a game on end. And I think particularly Devin Bush could be a sort of X factor that hasn't been one for a few weeks now, but against an athletic quarterback like Josh Allen, he goes sideline to sideline, and he created problems for Kyler Murray. He created problems for Lamar Jackson. If Josh Allen, he leads the Bills in rushing touchdowns right now. If Josh Allen tries to use his legs, it's going to be interesting seeing those two match up with each other, because Allen will have Bush in size, but he'll have a hard time creating any separation from Bush. He's going to have to find different ways to beat him, and I think the Steelers might be a little excited to use Bush in that manner. If we're talking offensively, it's going to be interesting to see how the Steelers do anything. Watch out for, if you're looking for guys that Bills fans might not know, watch out for James Washington or Deontay Johnson. Both have flashed really good potential this year. James Washington, more of the strong-bodied, if you want to think of Hines Ward, that's the kind of style that he brings. He blocks hard. He goes up for combat catches, and he can be very physical in his routes. Deontay Johnson is just explosive with his footwork and how he gets separation. You know, the Bills have Tre'Davious White, but if he's going to be covering Juju Smith-Schuster, those two guys can really hurt teams if you fall asleep at the wheel on them. Johnson had two touchdowns last week against the Cardinals, and he was cutting up Patrick Peterson pretty well. So watch out for those guys on offense if Devlin Hodges starts, you know, throwing up some one-on-one opportunities to those guys.
Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON. Listening on the go? If you can't visit DoorDash right now, you can find this and all the other offers from Locked On sponsors at LockedOnPodcast.com/offers.
All right, continuing here on Crossover Wednesday here on the Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On Steelers, Locked On Bills. We're going to continue here with Joe Marino of Locked On Bills. Joe, it's an interesting matchup between the Steelers and Bills because if you look, you know, in the national media and the perception of these two teams, they really have kind of the same perception, which is, okay, this is cute that these teams are putting together wins, but realistically, we know these are not Super Bowl contenders. Right now, you've been watching the Bills all year. Is that a fair criticism of this team that they haven't beaten anybody yet? I know, you know, people made a somewhat of a big deal of their win on Thanksgiving over the Dallas Cowboys. Is this a team that can go far in the playoffs, or are they still in kind of a building mode here? And a playoff run would be a stepping stone towards something in the future.
Well, I think it's a good question, and I think the proof is in the resume, and that the Bills have played the best two teams in the AFC, the New England Patriots and the Baltimore Ravens, and had very tight one score losses to both of those teams with opportunities to win at the end. I mean, and against New England, they turned over the ball five times, had a blocked punt for a field goal and lost 16-10. And then against Baltimore in a game where the offense was fluttering the entire time, they proved that defensively they can match up with Baltimore. And if they could have executed maybe just 5% better on offense, they had a real chance to take down Baltimore and control their destiny in the AFC. So while they may not have this glamorous resume of wins, they do have 9 of them, and they've really been able to compete with the best teams on their schedule. I think, you know, that next step is being able to turn those games into wins. But for a team that was 6-10 last year, all the improvements made to the roster this year, Josh Allen in year 2, the coaching staff really hitting its stride here in year 3 together, I think you can find that criticism if you like, that the Bills maybe aren't as good as a 9-4 record would indicate. But when you do consider those big matchups against Baltimore and New England, there's nobody that could watch those games and think that Buffalo didn't match up and aren't capable of beating those teams. So it's still a young football team that's at a really good point in its progression and where it's going. And I don't think we look at this team right now and say, wow, that's a team that can really win the AFC this year. But at the same time, you've seen them match up against New England and Baltimore and certainly look like they belong in the same field.
Yeah.
Joe, I want to lead this question with a real good feel-good story about this game, and it's the Edmonds brothers. The Steelers have Trey Edmonds at running back and Terrell Edmonds at safety, but the best player of the Edmonds brothers is definitely on the Bills, and that's Tremaine Edmonds. All three will be active for this game, and that's pretty cool for this group of young men. But Tremaine Edmonds leads the team with 97 tackles and has 8 passes defense. He also has an interception, including a sack and a half. I loved Tremaine Edmonds coming out of college. And when the Bills took him, I was like, he is a piece for the future. Can you talk about the amount of chemistry that he's brought to this defense and how important he's been to their ability to make plays and how much he's allowed everyone else to kind of do their jobs by taking up the middle of the field?
Special athlete, special football player, 6'4", 253, 34.5-inch arms. He runs 4.5. He's just a rare physical specimen, and he's got really good work ethic and habits, and he's a team leader and a team captain, 21 years old, second year starting in the NFL, team captain for a top 5 defense in the NFL. And so we're swooning over Tremaine Edmonds and what he's shown in, you know, almost 2 seasons now, and thinking about his physical gifts and thinking about how young he is and how much better he can even get. He makes really impactful plays because he has great physical traits, and he's really getting the mental side of the game down and playing fast. And, you know, he's really emerged as a leader. And so, you know, the Bills had two first round picks in 2018, Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds. And you kind of feel like you got the face of the offense and the face of the defense in one first round there. So that worked out quite well. But obviously an amazing story. Could you imagine being a parent, their mom and dad? I mean, what that's going to be like being at Heinz Field on Sunday night, seeing this go down. I mean, their faces are going to be hurting from smiling so much. I mean, what an amazing situation. And they're all such good people. And I think, you know, we had a chance to kind of listen to their parents. And I covered, I think, two games of Tremaine, his final year at Virginia Tech, and got a chance to be around him and see his family and stuff like that. And they're just stand up people and really excited for all their success. And man, what a great game. It's going to be cool to see, you know, Tremaine tackling Trey and, you know, let's see what Terrell Edmonds can do. And so, you know, they're going to all want to have the best game show. So the competitive juices will be flowing and really special group of athletes. And obviously Buffalo's swooning over what Tremaine Edmonds has been.
Yeah, I want to know what they do those 50-50 jerseys, right? But with this situation, they can't really do a 50-50 jersey, right? Because it's two of the players are on the Steelers, so maybe it's got to be like a two-thirds jersey. Might have a custom made. Who knows what they'll do? I want to talk more about that defense, though, because it's an interesting Bills defense, right? I mean, this is a defensively led squad, much like the Steelers are. But, you know, the Bills are a football team right now. Not a lot of household names on this defense. You got Tremaine Edmonds, of course. He's that first-round pick from a year ago really coming on. Tre'Davious White is a fantastic cornerback, although maybe not a household name. And then you've got guys like Jordan Poyer and Matt Milano, Levi Wallace, right? These are not household names. Tell us about this Bills defense and what makes it so good.
Yeah, they're just a fundamentally sound group, and they've got really good coaching. Sean McDermott, Leslie Frazier, John Butler, the secondary coach, all those guys are great football minds. They have good football players, and they don't have it's not this Baltimore Ravens scheme. It's not this, you know, blitzing seven guys and really being exotic with your looks. The Bills just play fundamentally sound defense, and they force you to do a lot in terms of execution to score points on them. And they do have a lot of first round picks on this defense as well. I mean, Jerry Hughes, Ed Oliver, Tremaine Edmonds, Trey White. But yeah, I think some of the names that maybe some people aren't familiar with is the safety tandem of Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde. Those guys are the quarterbacks of this defense, and they've been together for 3 years now. I think it may be the best safety tandem in the league. And they both are interchangeable. They can win a man coverage zone. They have ball skills. They tackle great. And they really just make sure the Bills are lined up correctly and everyone knows what they're supposed to do. So those safeties are really where it's at. Trey White, you know, one of the better corners in football, has really done a good job of taking away other teams' number one receivers. But this year, what's really been refreshing is to see him take away the football and strip the football and intercept the football and make plays on the ball. That's really been a big part of his game this year. Matt Milano's a guy that, you know, you think about Sean McDermott and those defenses over in Carolina. You know, this is that Thomas Davis player, the weak side linebacker that pursues and chases and wins in coverage, wins in space, and really is a threat to get outside the numbers and make plays. And on the defensive line, the Bills play a ton of different guys. And you know, Shaq Lawson, another first round pick. He's really, I wouldn't say he's been Bud Dupree, but a guy that in year four at a contract year has really put together his best season and playing with a lot of energy. And he's probably one of the Bills' best defensive playmakers along the defensive line. And that includes guys like Ed Oliver and Jerry Hughes. And so it's talented defense on all levels of the field. It's well coached. They play well together. The buzzy phrase for this Bills defense is everyone does their 1/11th. And they really do. And they play sound defense, and it's led to a lot of big plays, and it's made it difficult on teams to score. But it's a unit that if people don't know these names, they need to get to know them, because they're very underrated and one of the better units, I think, in football.
I agree with that. And I also love watching Ed Oliver. That guy can take over the middle of an offensive line. But let's talk about the offense. We could spend all day talking about both of these teams' defenses. I want to talk about their receiving game. We'll get into the running game a bit, you know, but, you know, Josh Allen has been, him and Lamar Jackson were my 1A and 1B in that quarterback draft. And, you know, I really liked both of them because of their athleticism. but you still got some guys that are very interesting. I really like how they've used Cole Beasley. He's got 6 touchdowns. You got the deep threat in John Brown, and those are the 2 leading receivers for this team. What do you think has been if there's a chemistry item or point that you've seen from Allen to those guys as sort of a reliable factor? What do you think it is, at least helping them move forward, that you can say, like, you know, Steelers fans should watch out for this route or maybe this concept that has really worked for Allen this season?
Well, for Josh, and maybe this comes as a surprise for a lot of people, is that he's been a very good short to intermediate passer. Where he's really struggled is working the football down the field. His deep accuracy has been very poor, but he's really emerged as a short to intermediate passer. And so, you know, a lot of people, and I think John Brown's entire career has been, he's a vertical route guy. You just throw it up and he'll settle underneath it and hit big plays down the field. But what he's been for this offense is a very complete receiver to all levels of the field, and he's running the full route tree. And so him and John Brown and Josh Allen have really built a good connection, and you know, John Brown leads the team in receiving. Cole Beasley's been very reliable in terms of the ways you would expect a slot receiver to be reliable, winning in man coverage, getting open, being pretty consistent with his hands. And you know, he's made, you know, look at the Dallas game, he made some explosive plays. And so there's a good trust factor there between Josh and Cole Beasley, and it really helps keep the offense on schedule, having those weapons available to him compared to last year when he's throwing to like Kelvin Benjamin and Andre Holmes are the lead receivers. You know, it's been a big upgrade, and it's really created a more complete offense for Buffalo. And so those are the primary guys in the receiving game. They'll try to get the ball to Isaiah McKenzie a little bit. Robert Foster is a very explosive receiver who has not been the player we saw last year, but he still has that athleticism that flashes from time to time. But yeah, when the Bills throw the ball, it's going to be one of those 2 guys, Devin Singletary or Dawson Knox. And so they don't have a ton of weapons. But they have been pretty efficient this year, and a lot of people are quite surprised to find out that Josh Allen is not launching the ball down the field and hitting big plays. It's really been a more consistent offense where he's working those intermediate areas.
No, but he's also been a very good running quarterback this year. Yeah. He's got 95 carries this year for 439 yards. You know, and Singletary and Gore right there at 600 and 500. But, you know, he's been a real contributor in the running game. Is that, how much of that is designed in this offense, and how much of that is him kind of, when the play breaks down, making something happen with his legs?
It's a lot more scrambles than it is design runs. Now, last year, they almost never called a design run for Josh. This year, we started to see that a bit more, particularly earlier in the season, a bit less lately. So most of that production comes from him taking off with the ball. I mean, if he sees man coverage, you know, he loves to take off. And so, and he's dangerous, and you know, he's got to take care of his body and stuff like that. But it's very meaningful, those plays where he's able to just, you know, beat pursuit angles and get first downs and keep the offense moving. So it's a big threat. And obviously Devin Bush is the type of player that you would want to have to neutralize some of that. And what's kind of interesting, when I think it was Chris in the last segment talking about Devin Bush in that role, I was thinking just about how dense his frame is. You know, and he's packed such a powerful punch and such a compact frame that, you know, Josh Allen is unbelievable in some of the tackles he can get out of. And I'll be anxious to see, you know, some of those one-on-one situations against a guy like Devin Bush.
No, yeah. And I also want to talk about the rest of the run game, because I came into this season really curious about how Devin Singletary would perform. You know, I really thought he was going to be able to turn it on. You know, he's, you know, 642 yards, 2 touchdowns off of 115 carries. You know, decent numbers once he's gotten over. He has 6 starts under his belt now.
Yeah.
What have you seen from his development this season, as far as what his strengths are and where you think he's going in his career? Because you're a big draft guy. You know, you saw him in college, and now you've had a chance to see him during the pros up close. What's he bringing to the table as a guy that could be part of what could be a really good power running offense if him and Allen and they can develop this sort of chemistry?
Yeah, you know, Devin was a player that I was really interested to see how he transitioned to the next level, because you know he was very successful again at Florida Atlantic. I mean, unbelievable production across three seasons, tons of touchdowns, tons of yards, tons great yards per carry. But it was at Florida Atlantic, and you watch this guy play, and you're like, he makes some really exciting plays. He's really slippery. He's got good vision and contact balance, but he's just not that explosive. You know, he's not moving that fast. And then he tested, I mean, just unbelievably poor at the combine. And it further made me question, you know, what this guy can be in the NFL. But, you know, what he's proven is that he does have good vision and he does have contact balance, and that matters. And he's so elusive and shifty in tight quarters that he just finds ways out of situations that you don't really anticipate. Now, you'll notice once he gets into the open field that he just doesn't have much in the way of breakaway speed. I mean, thinking back to yesterday or Sunday against Baltimore, when you know he had a real chance to kind of just take one into the end zone, and when he got to about the 9-yard line, he just looked behind him because he knew somebody was going to catch up to him. So he's aware of his limitations, which is very important, because if he really tried to bounce runs, he'd get in a lot of trouble. But yeah, he's really done a good job of processing the defense, running with good pace, nuance, step frequency, and cadence, the way he presses the line of scrimmage and manipulates the second level to create that space. And he's been really good off tackle, really good off tackle. The Bills have been able to get Mitch Morse, their center, out on some longer poles, and their receivers all block. And they're, you know, Dawson Knox, Lee Smith, those guys will all block and really create some opportunities in the perimeter. So he's really been – he's transitioned quicker and better than I anticipated. He was a factor in that first game against the Jets, and then he got hurt, his hamstring injury in week two, and he missed some time. And then when he came back healthy, fully healthy, it was really against Washington. I mean, he's been really productive ever since then. You know, no game where you really look at and say, wow, he wasn't a big part of what happened there. And so I'm delightfully surprised. I'm anxious to see what type of shelf life he has, you know, because I don't think he can afford to lose any athleticism. But, you know, at least for his rookie deal, he looks like he's going to be an important player as a starting running back for this team.
All right, Joe, so we talked about some of the challenges that the Bills are going to have in this game against the Steelers. Of course, you know, they don't do well in these primetime games. But on the field, what are going to be the keys to victory for the Bills to come away with a win on Sunday night?
Well, you have to think, you know, Pittsburgh's watched the Baltimore tape, and where really what was difficult for the Bills last week against Baltimore offensively in key terms of keeping the offense on schedule was handling the blitz. You know, Baltimore blitzed 30 times against Buffalo. Josh Allen did not respond well to it, and they couldn't get him out of it. So early on, they tried to hit some stuff deep, and Josh couldn't hit it. And then as the game evolved, you know, the Bills did find some outlets, but Baltimore tackled so well, it didn't matter. So they had no reason to get out of the blitz, and the Bills didn't do a good enough job beating it. So, you know, I'm sure the Steelers are going to want to replicate that. So to me, the big X factor is, all right, how aggressive is this Pittsburgh defense going to be? And how much can Josh mature and take what I think is really good teaching tape from Sunday, apply that information throughout the week of practice, and then continue applying that, you know, once the ball's kicked off in a very meaningful football game, right? You talk about meeting moments, and I do to my listeners all the time. They're probably rolling their eyes right now, but how does Josh Allen meet this moment? Sunday Night Football, first time this team, the Bills have been on Sunday Night Football since 2007. You got the Steelers in, they're all in their color rush, right? They never lose in the color rush. You've got a 10-win season on the line. If the Bills win the game, they clinch the playoffs. So a lot of big implications here. How does Josh Allen meet this moment? That's the ultimate X factor for me. I'm optimistic. The Bills have been very good coming out of losses this year. This will be the fourth time they've lost. So they've had three previous games. They lost to the Patriots. They lost to the Browns and the Eagles. The game after that, you saw a very good job of the Bills coaching staff correcting issues from the previous game and winning. They've not allowed losses to stack, and they've done a good job of correcting issues throughout the course of the week. Can they do it again, get win number 10, get that win in prime time, and go to the playoffs? How do they meet the moment? To me, that's the ultimate X factor.
Yeah, it's such an interesting matchup on Sunday night. If you would have said to people after week four that the NFL is going to flex Steelers Bills to Sunday night, it's going to be two teams that are likely headed to the AFC playoffs, everyone would have called you crazy, but here we are. All right, Joe, we got to get you out of here. One more question, and crossover is over. Now we're going to enter in Joe Marino, the Draft Network analyst, because, Joe, we're looking at Lamar Jackson in this division. We're looking at Baker Mayfield, yeah. And now the Cincinnati Bengals are look like they're about to get Joe Burrow. How bad is it for Steeler fans? I watched Joe Burrow on Saturday something, and there's another great quarterback entering the AFC North.
I love Joe Burrow, man. I was watching that game, the SEC championship game against Georgia, and I was thinking to myself, man, if I was a Cincinnati Bengals fan, I'd be so excited about getting this guy. You know, he's got such great moxie and intangibles, and he's so accurate to all levels of the field. He processes the game so clean, but it's how he handles pressure. I mean, he's been near flawless when pressured this year, and he's just so smart, and he just knows where his guys are. And that new system that Joe Brady installed there, the passing game, you know, it really accentuates the best of Joe Burrow. And it's a system that's predicated on route concepts and sight adjustments. And it really just speaks to the football intelligence of not only the receivers, Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson, but Joe Burrow and how quickly they were able to establish chemistry. So he's a really talented football player. Cincinnati's got to get that offensive line right. But yeah, I hear you. Baker Mayfield, Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson. I mean, that is a lot of exciting young quarterback talent there in that division. But hey, Pittsburgh's got that great defense. They got a great offensive line, and you've got a Hall of Fame quarterback. So take advantage of the window.
Wow, did you hear that, Chris? Joe just put Duck in the Hall of Fame.
He did not. He's a Ben Roethlisberger. Now, see, Joe, this is what I have to deal with every week with Cody.
I didn't say it. Joe said it. Joe clearly
talked about Ben Roethlisberger. Clearly. It's been every day. Yeah. Since the first day in training camp, Joe, I'm telling you, I cannot get this man to stop. And it's only gotten worse. Like when they cut him initially, they brought him back when they traded Dobbs. And then Mason started to stink, and then they put him in, and it's just it'll never stop.
You know, I fired off a text message this a couple of weeks ago when they were transitioning from Mason because he was killing him, and they were going back to Duck Hodges, and I said, you know, that Josh Dobbs trade was a lose-lose for everyone, right? Because Jacksonville, they get Gardner Minshew, right, who goes in, and they don't even want to play Foles anymore, who they owe a ton of money to. Yep. And then Pittsburgh's sitting over here, you know, three different quarterbacks, and I was thinking at the time, like, wow, they'd love to have Dobbs. And so, you know, Dobbs just rotting away in Jacksonville when they finally needed him in Pittsburgh, wind up not working really for anyone. But this defense has been so exciting there for Pittsburgh, and credit to Mike Tomlin. You know, he gets a lot of criticism for a lot of things. I don't know. I mean, look, the results are really outstanding. Nobody can argue with the results, but I think there's some frustrations based on, you know, just some of his game management and philosophies and those types of things. And, you know, assistance has let him down, but what a coaching job Mike Tomlin's done here this season in particular.
Yeah, this is without a doubt his best coaching performance. And I mean, this is a guy who won the Super Bowl with one of the best defenses in Steeler history back in 2008. But I think, you know, no matter how this ends up, this has been a terrific performance. No one saw what is already an 8-win season. It could be 10, it could be 9, whatever. It could be 11. I mean, who knows with the Steeler team so far. It's been a terrific performance. All right, Joe, thanks for coming on. Let people know where they can find your work.
Yeah, absolutely. I write a lot and podcast a lot for thedraftnetwork.com. So if you're a Steelers fan and you want to keep up with draft stuff, at the Joe Marino on Twitter is the spot. And then, of course, we do the Draft Dudes podcast and Locked On Bills.
All right, Chris, let people know where they can find your work.
As always, find me on Twitter at Carter Critiques. If you follow me, I'll follow you back. Hit me with a DM, hit me with an @. I'm always down to chat with you guys. Thanks so much for all the interactions you do. If you're listening to this podcast on either Locked On Bills or Locked On Steelers, please hit that subscribe button and drop a 5-star review. Those things really help us. Leave a positive comment. Those things really help us promote both of our shows. You can also find my work covering the Steelers and writing up the film analysis on the team at dkpittsburghsports.com with my Carter's Classroom column. Right now we have a holiday special where you can get dkpittsburghsports.com for 50% off. That's $19.99 that covers the entire year. You go up, you subscribe right now, you'll get that discount, and that means you'll get the Steelers, our coverage of the Pirates, our coverage of the Penguins, and you'll get our coverage of the University of Pittsburgh's football and basketball teams for the 2020 season. And we have a lot of great stuff there. Check out the special.
You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and we'll be back tomorrow with more Locked On Bills and Locked On Steelers.